One of the greatest paradoxes of life is the paradox of giving. Because one of life's stringent way we keep, for it is in the giving that we receive, and what we try to keep to ourselves we lose, for the keeping we cannot reproduce. And when we die, we are going to take with us only that which we have given away. Now, I don't believe that perhaps most of you realize the fact, but there's one fact in nature that is very striking in this regard, and that is that most people like dogs. And on the other hand, most people do not like cats. Now, it is true that some people like both dogs and cats. And there are some people who do like cats. But the majority of people like dogs, and the majority of people do not like cats. And I believe there's a very definite reason for that. Because if we analyze it, we'll find that the dog by nature is a very grateful animal. And on the other hand, the cat by nature is a very selfish animal. Now let's take an example. What does the dog do? Feed him, and even before he begins to eat, he will bark his gratitude for the gift that you have given him. Take the dog to the worst part of the world, and he will be thankful that he is privileged to be with his master, no matter what the difficulties are under which he has to live. And everything in the dog's life around its master is a constant expression of gratitude. On the other hand, the cat is just the opposite. Even when the cat purrs, you know, as it brushes along your pant leg, it's only because it's enjoying the physical comfort by having its fur rubbed in such a manner. And most cats would be tickled to death to stay at home next to the fire and let the master, the mistress, leave and be perfectly content to be away from the master or the mistress. Now, I believe this is indicative of one of the basic attitudes of human nature. We tend to like people who are grateful. We tend to like or dislike people who are ungrateful in life. You know, I believe there's one person who is the most disliked of all people, and he's the ingrate. How often do you not hear it said, well, at least he could have shown gratitude. Now, we have a beautiful example of this in the parable about the 10 lepers. Do you remember that parable? There were 10 men, so the story goes, that had leprosy. And of course, leprosy is a very dread disease. And at that time, perhaps even more so than today with our modern knowledge in medicine. And so these 10 lepers beseeched Christ to cure them. And he did. And then the story goes on and tells us that only one came back to give thanks. And Christ asked this one who returned, he said, weren't all 10 made clean? And then he added, where then are the other 9? Because although we love gratitude, although gratitude is attractive in others, still in human nature, how often do we not tend to be ungrateful for the gifts of life and the gifts of living? We have a question that's asked in AA many times, and that question is, where are the old timers? What's happened to the guys and the gals who were in AA 5, 10, 15 years ago? You never see them anymore. We might paraphrase that and say, where are the other 9? Is this human ingratitude? I don't know. Thoughtlessness, perhaps. Failure to recognize a gift, perhaps, but I do know, and I am convinced that one of the greatest contributory causes to the so-called leakage in AA is the fact of ingratitude. Because we say in the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. This is the same idea that was given to Peter centuries ago when he was told, and you being converted, you in turn convert your brethren. As you have been given, so give it to somebody else, because it's in the giving that we receive. So in AA, we give what we have in order to get more of what we have got. You know the reason for that, I believe? Because I believe the average alcoholic is a very proud individual, a very egotistical personality. And in our endeavor to maintain sobriety and adjust to life, perhaps we can't take the pedestal of life as easily as the average human being. So in order to go off on a tangent of pure love of God and our neighbor, I think we're much more secure on giving in order that we might receive. That is the gratitude that we should practice in AA. I never will forget Dorothy Sheeran, who was the founder of AA in Indianapolis, and who happens to have been my sponsor, and whose name I use freely because Dor died some years back. I have heard him say many, many times over and over again, this is a give program. It's as simple as all that. This is a give program. Having had a spiritual awakening, we in turn carry this message to alcoholics. We give what we have received. Now, many fellows in AA, many gals, will go on 12-step calls and they'll say, well, now I've called on 10 people and they all stayed drunk. I must be no good. They get very discouraged and very full of self-pity. Or perhaps here's another one, will call on 10 new guys or gals and they'll all stay sober. And then what happens? Boy, look, 10 AAs, they're all sober. And I'm their sponsor. And then he goes home and he looks into a mirror and admires that big shot sponsor. Then he goes out and invites the guy in the mirror out for a drink. So therefore, again, it is emphasized to us, it is in the giving that we receive. We give in order to keep what we have got and to get more of what was given to us. What are we going to give away? Well, the big AA book tells us very simply, tell them what happened to you. You know, so many say, well, what am I going to talk about? Well, just tell them what happened to you. You've got loads to talk about. You know it backwards. Tell them what happened to you. So I think that if we again ask ourselves, what happened to the old-timers? And by old-timers, I mean anyone who has been in AA and no longer associates with the groups. I believe we can paraphrase that by say, what happened to the other nine? Where are the other nine? They simply stopped giving. Now, what have we got actually to give away? Well, first of all, we can give our presence at meetings. And here so many times we go off on a tangent. We go to a meeting and they have some lousy speaker. Of course, there are some pure-minded AAs who say that no speaker is lousy, which I don't agree with. But it is true that we go to a meeting and the discussion is a very poor level or something. We go home and, oh, gosh, I didn't get nothing out of the meeting. That isn't the question. Did we give? By our very presence, we have given hope to someone perhaps there for their first time. We are going there with the purpose of giving. Then we are never disappointed. We had a successful meeting, no matter who spoke, no matter what they spoke about, no matter how long or how short was their talk. We had a successful meeting because we gave ourselves, and in turn, we got more sobriety. Then we can give encouragement to the new guy. Give a listening ear. You know, the greatest value of therapy, particularly in the alcoholic and the neurotic fields, is to be a willing listener. So many people come to me and they say, "Father, you know, I did just what you told me a couple years ago, and it all came out just as you said, and I didn't tell them anything." But they had figured it all out as they talked and talked and talked. To give a good ear, to give encouragement to the newcomer. You know, so many want to avoid the problem children in AA. You know, we have our problem AAs the same as the world has us as a problem. And you'll find so many of the fellas and gals in AA say, "Oh, here she comes, here he comes. I'm get out of the way from her." My goodness. It hasn't been too long when we needed a good ear. So we can give a listening ear. We can give encouragement. Then we can give attention to what's said at a meeting. And we might say here, in regard to the talk, where were the other nine? They were sleeping. You know, I'm amused at times. I will give a talk and somebody will come up and say, "Gee, Father, that was a wonderful talk." I say, "It was? What did I say?" That puts them on the spot. But can we take some one thing home from that talk? In other words, if we give our attention to get something out of that talk, we will take home much more than we gave. Then we can give action to what we hear. Many of us go to AA meetings. We hear fine AA, but it doesn't take effect in our lives because we give no action to it. Action is the magic word. Then we can give a talk once in a while in AA. And a lot of guys and gals will excuse themselves. "Well, what am I going to say? I'm no professional speaker." Tell them what happened to you. And you know, even the lousiest speaker in the world has got something that someone in that audience has been waiting for a long, long time. After all, God can write straight with a crooked line. Nobody knows better than I. So no matter how inadequate we feel in speaking and giving the message, someone is going to want just what we say in the way we say it to solve something in their lives that they've been waiting long, long time for that solution. Then we can give a big book to our babies, the ones we sponsor, and to someone else who perhaps cannot afford it. You know, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me how many in AA have never read the Big AA book. It's amazing how many have never purchased the Big AA book, much less how many have ever given it away to someone else. This is a give program. I can remember back 17 years ago when I came into AA. There was one thing that was never thought of, a new fellow to come to AA and someone not giving him the Big AA book. Give. This is a give program. It's in the giving that we receive. Then we can share the material goods that God has blessed us with. We can give a buck or two to the meeting when the secretary or the treasurer asks for it. And you know, here's the enigma of AA to me. How it is, how tight an alcoholic becomes when they sober up in AA. Here you have the same individuals who thought nothing of going into the tavern or the bar room and putting a $20 bill on the bar and saying, "Shut them up! Buy them all a drink on me." And now they come to the group meeting and the secretary or the treasurer, whoever it is, asks for a little help and they yell to high heaven, "No dues, no fees, what's the matter?" And when they take the two bits out of their pockets, you can hear their elbows squeak. I can feel with many a treasurer and many a secretary in the AA groups As they look in the collection basket after the meeting's over and they look in and say, only $1, where's the other nine? This is a give program. Then we can give of the professional talents that we may have been blessed with. Out here, you have many chances of that. Many are talented people. Many are professional speakers, professional actors. To give that to entertain the group, I think, is a tremendous thing. I think that's the acme of giving of oneself. And those people who do that undoubtedly receive far beyond that which they give. Because in all this giving business, in all this paradox of giving, the one thing that we can never do, and that is outdo Almighty God in generosity. He will not be outdone in generosity. As we give, we shall receive. Then we can give whatever that has been given to us along the path of sobriety. In AA or out of AA. As it has been given to me. First, I have my sobriety. I have happiness. I can share that. I have financial helps that I had not before. I can share that. I can give of AA literature. I can give of the big book to the newcomers who perhaps have not had a chance or not able at this time to buy one. All these things I can give because it's in the giving that I receive. But perhaps the biggest opportunity comes when we can give of ourselves on a 12-step call. And to me, this is the most missing factor in AA today. The neglect of sponsorship. The giving of ourselves. I may not have much money to share. I may not have much material things to share. But I have got a lot of me that I can share with someone else on a 12-step call, on sponsoring a new fella or a new gal for AA. Why is this that it is so neglected today? I don't know. Is it ingratitude? I don't know. Is it thoughtlessness? Perhaps. But I do know it's true. I do know that one of the biggest things missing is a serious taking of the responsibility of sponsorship. Now, of course, in regard to sponsorship, I think there's many reasons why we fail. I think there are many reasons why we don't, perhaps, practice sponsorship as much as we should. But again, since there's no do's or fees in AA, there's also no do's or don'ts in AA. Whether some people would like to have you believe otherwise or not, there are no rules in Alcoholics Anonymous. There are no do's, no don'ts. However, I'm going to try to give you, from my experience, a series of suggestions to be carried out in relation to sponsoring a new fellow or in relation to sponsorship. And in giving these suggestions, I'm bound to use a do or a don't. But when I do, you don't got to do it if you don't want to. First of all, in the 17 years in AA, I find the most missing factor is failure to follow up the initial call. How many guys and gals, sure, they'll call on a new guy, and that's the end of it. They say, hello, I'm from AA, yeah, goodbye, I'll see you sometime. But no wonder the guy don't stay sober. No wonder the guy never gets to the meeting. Following up that initial call, I think, is so very important. Not pampering, but getting over to that new guy that you're willing to give if he wants what you've got. We don't tell him what he has to do. We simply give what we've got. I remember my sponsor using the expression many times, and he was known in our part of the country very widely as one of the most successful sponsors in that area. And he would approach a new one. He would say, now look, mister, I'm not here to sober you up. In fact, I don't care whether you die drunk. But I'm very interested whether I die drunk or sober. And I'm here, therefore, to give you everything I've got if you want it. I'll stay day and night if you want it. And he gave of himself, because it's in the giving that we receive. Then in regard to sponsorship, don't expect success. It says in the step, we tried to carry the message. That's all that's necessary. It doesn't say we succeeded in carrying the message. You have succeeded if you have stayed sober. That is what we're supposed to be aiming at, because it's in the giving that we receive. Therefore, I call on a new fella for the purpose of staying sober, not for sobering him up. And if he doesn't choose to stay sober, I can't help that. I have stayed sober. I've done the best I can. That will eliminate this self-pity and this cockiness, which follows on too many lack of successes and too much success in 12-step activity. Then another thing in making a 12-step call, don't brag. How many go to the new guy and try to picture AA as heaven on earth, you know, and actually it isn't. AA is earth on earth, period. That was our difficulty. We tried to make heaven on earth. And when the clouds were punctured, we went to the other extreme. Somebody caught it. Thank you. No, we simply tell them what happened to us. That's what the big AA book tells us. Then exclude nobody. You know how much this comes about in many parts of the country where a certain person will not call on another certain person because he's a little below them. That happens. That's what starts your silk stocking groups, you know. Personally, I think that who calls upon whom is absolutely of no importance as far as keeping or initiating sobriety in the new fella. So many call on me and they say, Father, I know a priest who needs this and I think another priest should call on him. Will you go see him? I don't think another priest should call on him. He's the same as anybody else. In fact, I think a bricklayer would probably keep him sober better than another priest would. This idea of trying to pick out our own social stratum in order to call on only that type, I say that starts the so-called silk stocking groups in here and there. Then another bit of advice is dispense no medicine. We are not doctors. We are alcoholics and not too good at that. And if a person needs medicine, that's for the medical doctor to prescribe and to give. You know, there's lots of fellas and lots of gals have died from that. Sponsor comes along, he has a pocket full of pills. Here, take one of these. Make you sleep nice. So another guy comes along, he don't know the other fellow's been there. He said, here, take one of these. Third guy comes along, he gives him one, the guy dies. That has happened. The doctors are the ones to prescribe medicine. Then we should ascertain the true need of the individual. And here we have two other extremes. One will say, well, put them in a hospital. They all should be in a hospital. And the other guy will say, no, none of them need a hospital. I shook it out. When it comes to deciding physically who needs hospitalization and who doesn't, I think, again, a doctor should decide, not myself as an ordinary alcoholic. Then always see that he or she gets the big AA book. And I think this is almost, if there ever could be, a command in AA, because I think it's so important. There we will find AA as it was from the beginning. And I think if we make a 12-step call, the first thing we should see that man gets a big AA book, even if he doesn't stay sober. So you lost 4.5. No, you didn't. You bought a seed. And who knows, that might spring up and grow someday. Many have. Many thousands have. But I think it's very important. Then I believe it's rather foolish to practice what we're going to tell the new guy. I think it's much safer, much more secure and effective if we leave the Lord give us what to say. I remember one fellow in a meeting was asked one time, he was very successful with new guys and gals, and he was asked, what do you think about when you go on a 12-step call? He said, I don't think about anything. He said, I just pray. I believe he's got something there. All we have to do is tell him what happened to us, and we leave God work through us. Then another don't, although you don't have to don't give professional advice. Medical advice is for doctors. Psychiatric advice is for the psychiatrist. And the religious advice, religion is for the clergyman. We as laymen, and I classify myself in the general phase of laymen in regard to the professions of medical psychiatry, we should not give professional advice. In AA, we have what we call a spiritual side. Yes, we can give them our idea of the spiritual life, but we should not try to formalize religion. We're not out to save souls. We're only ringing them out. Let's leave it to the churches to save their souls. Then another don't. Don't give advice in serious family problems. This is so important. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. I know one individual who was called by a certain party, the wife of an alcoholic, for advice. And this individual gave that wife the following advice. Oh, he said, now what you should do is leave him. Now, he was sincere. He said, you leave him and put him on his own. That'll shock him into sobriety. And, of course, then you can be ready to help him. All sounds very nice. But here's what happened. About a month later, when this fellow happened to see this same wife again, he asked her how it came out. You know what she did? She started to cry. She said, you know, I did just what you told me. And the next day, we found my husband dead. Suicide. Never give advice in serious family problems. First of all, I don't believe, and it's only my opinion as all these things are, that any decision, and certainly a problem that has to do with marital relationship and home life, are serious decisions. No decision should be made in the early months of sobriety. And when a decision has to be made, I think the advice should come from a competent advisor, a competent counselor who knows both parties and the background of both parties. I think a lot of trouble would be avoided. I think too often perhaps we usurp to ourselves professional roles again, as a competent marriage counselor. And if you don't believe that, you just look around in some of the groups. And the only one who is competent in that regard is one who is professionally trained to it. Because there's so much that we do not know. Not only about what to tell them, but about why to tell them. And there's so much we don't know about them when we do tell them, to be objectively sure that what we tell is something worthwhile to them in their particular problem. Then another bit of advice, it's always best to take someone with us on a 12-step call. There's many reasons for this. Not only security in itself, but often effectiveness. I have seen it happen in some groups. They deliberately do this for a purpose. They send two on a 12-step call. The one makes the guy mad, and the other takes his part. Then he's got him. It's amazing how it works that way so often. In many groups, they do that. Then another don't. Don't give money on a 12-step call. I know a lot of you are going to love me for that. But that's true. You never bought sobriety. And unless it's a specific case of a dire need and an urgent need, I don't believe we should give money on a 12-step call. That's the reason the Big AA book doesn't mention anything about that, because it is not really a part of AA. What we do in the matter of helping someone financially is completely outside of the phase of AA. It should be done as we judge it in our own charity or our own obligation of justice, away and above the Alcoholics Anonymous program. Then also, don't neglect the physical side. I believe it's very important to channel the new guy or the new gal to a good doctor. A doctor who is conversant with alcoholism. And not a doctor that will give him a few more barbitols and he's worse off than when he started. And I think every area, most of the AAs know whom the good doctors are. So I think we should see that they get good physical help. And today, there are many helps can be given in those early days to make it a little bit easier for the new fella or the new gal. Then here's another one that I think most groups will agree with me. Man should not call on woman, and woman should not call on man. Now, there's one very good reason for that. He's a man, she's a woman. Many groups will not send such. In fact, as you know, if you've been around AA very long, there are very many circumstances which will make this almost mandatory in some of the groups. I remember one person in AA in Indianapolis, and she used to have difficulty about once every 6-8 weeks, and she always called the office, the central office, for help, but she wanted a man to call on her. But they wouldn't send any. Then another one is, don't pamper the new fellow or the new gal. I think there's much more damage in AA from over-pampering than from over-neglect. Believe me. After all, we are products of pampering in our childhood. Most of us have been over-pampered all our life. Now, if the sponsor, well-meaning, tries to pamper too much and hold the hand of the new guy, the new gal, too much, he only hurts the newcomer. He doesn't help. And that is often the case when someone calls again and again on the same individual. And the same individual slips again and again and again because perhaps we are pampering them too much. Those decisions should be taken after honest analyzation of them and of whether I am helping or hurting by doing what I am doing in this individual call. Then another one is, I believe, very important, and that is, don't gossip. In AA, we learn lots of things that we would not learn in ordinary life. In fact, it is a postgraduate course in human nature, as many of you know. But gossip can make so many wrecks of life, and how many I have met along the way because somebody talked. Somebody yapped their big mouth about a problem they would never have known about if it wasn't on a 12-step call. I wonder if we are conscious enough of that. That when I enter that family, that what I learn is very confidential. We speak about anonymity. That's the anonymity, I think, that we neglect today. That I do not tell anybody at any time anything or anyone I learned in any of my 12-step or AA associations. Don't gossip. Remember what the pagan poet Horace said centuries ago. Fama quae crescit eundo, which translated means gossip which so grows as it goes. And how it grows. You know, I don't know why it is, and this happens in AA too. There's so many people that have nose trouble. Yeah, they tell the story of one, I don't know what to call her, a young woman or an old woman or a middle-aged woman, somebody, used to mark the calendar every time somebody got married. That will sink in, I hope. Let it die within ourselves. Don't gossip. Then another one is don't preach. As I said a while ago, there's no religion in AA. God, yes, as he understands it. And we are not in this business to sow religion. We are in AA to stay sober and to give to someone else what has been given to me. I believe the safest of all approaches on a 12-step call is to begin and end, I am an alcoholic, and here is what happened to me. This is what I was, I used to be. Here's what I did, and now here's what I am. That is the explicit way pointed out in the Big AA book. And that way, we don't get into difficulty. On the other hand, we shouldn't avoid God. You know, there are people in AA and there are no God guys and gals. And so many will ask the question, well, how can I bring up this idea of God? Well, I'm going to tell you. You get your Big AA book, and there for 9 pages, it tells you very explicitly how to approach the subject, how to broach the subject, what to tell him, and what to do about it. Now, I'm not going to tell you the page. You go look up your Big AA book. And if you haven't got one, it's time to buy one. But it specifically tells us how to approach the newcomer with the idea of God. Not to inject religion, but on the other hand, not to neglect something that he might hold on to. Then finally, we can give our own good example. We are making amends every day that we live sober. The very fact that it is brought up in AA many times, how do I repay my sponsor? You repay your sponsor by staying sober and by giving it to someone else. This is a give program. He gave it to you because someone gave it to him. And you give it to someone else. And somewhere there are 8 million alcoholics waiting for someone to bring them the message that has been brought to you. Are we going to break the chain? Are we going to hesitate and rest on our laurels and perhaps be numbered among the other 9 and refuse to give, although God has been so good to us? I don't know. Each one must answer those things for themselves. I know one thing. More than anything else, I remember what I was told when I came to AA, that you give this away, and the more you give it away, the more you got. And what I got, I like, and that's the reason I give it away. I've given it away through these years, through the grace of God, and may God in His mercy and His providence enable me to continue to give it in the years to come. Bill gave it to Bob. Bob to number 3 and number 3 to number 4 and on down the line until they reached you and they reached me. If someone had refused to carry that message, had in their ingratitude holed up, as we say, in themselves, in their own selfishness, perhaps you or I would not be here sober, happy, and adjusted to life tonight. You know, when Judgment Day comes, we're going to see a motley crowd up there. It's going to be a honey. We're going to see more Magdalens and alcoholics and murderers and prostitutes and thieves, all kinds of the so-called oddballs in life. But you know, I believe we're going to be surprised on which side they're standing. To me, there's going to be 3 great surprises in judgment. The first great surprise is we're going to see so many there that we never even dreamed had a chance to be there. And then we're going to see so many missing whom we thought sure would be there. And of course, the greatest surprise will be that we're there. Have you ever realized how the description of the judgment is given to us? It's described several times in the scriptures, but always under one heading, along one line, one theme, and that is the theme of giving. The theme of the love of God and the love of our neighbor, of giving, of sharing. Because we're told that when we get there, and please God, if we hear those words, "Come ye blessed of my Father, and possess ye the kingdom that was prepared from all eternity." And we're going to ask, "Why, Lord?" And the Lord's going to say, "Because when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you gave me comfort. I was an alcoholic, and with all due reverence, you gave me sobriety." Gratitude, the paradox of giving. Because as I have given, so will it be given to me. And if I ask, "Lord, when did I give these things to you?" You know what it says? It says, "As long as you did it to these, the least of my little ones, you did it to me. Come ye into the eternal joys of heaven." The paradox of giving. What we give away, we keep. And what we try to keep, we lose. And when we die, the only thing we're going to take with us is that which we have given away. The rest is up to you. May God love you and bless you all. Thank you.